What happens when the weather gets dangerously cold here in Connecticut and Governor Lamont directs the state's severe cold weather protocol to be activated like he did earlier this week? What does it mean, especially for our homeless population? Well, we know that the United Way of Connecticut 211 is continuing to help residents avoid severe cold weather. We had two tragedies in Stamford over the weekend, people in their 50s who we don't know if they were homeless, but we know that they were found, one in a public park, another by a bus stop. And we're told that they passed due to the elements outside. And so this is a continuous issue in Connecticut, and the fine folks at United Way of Connecticut continue to help. We have Lisa Tepper Bates, who is here to talk more about this. And Lisa, welcome back to the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
Lisa, would you say that we're seeing more of an issue with the cold temperatures impacting our homeless population in Connecticut, or has this always been a consistent issue in our state?
Well, it's always been a concern when we have even one person who is outside and unsheltered and it gets this dangerously cold, as we've seen it lately. But the problem that we're seeing now is that unsheltered homelessness in Connecticut is up by 45% over just last year. So we're seeing more and more people unsheltered and outside, and that means it's a much bigger problem for all of us when it gets dangerously cold, as it has been lately.
How does it work, Lisa, when we find out that the severe cold weather protocol is in place? Immediately we tell people, call 211 or go to 211ct.org. Can you tell I say it enough? How do you put together an entire list of the closest locations to help any resident in Connecticut access a place to warm up or to get shelter?
Well, first off, thank you for helping us get the word out. We appreciate that. When the governor declares a so-called cold weather protocol, our homeless assistance team goes to 24 hours a day, and we immediately spring into action working with our towns and our state agencies to provide an up-to-date, comprehensive list of warming centers. For example, recently there were 155 warming centers opened up across the state in 51 separate towns, and they know to work with us quickly when they're going to open up a warming center so that we all have in one place the most up-to-date information about where all of those important resources are. And then we're going to work 24 hours a day to answer those calls as a matter of urgent priority to help people get to a warming center. And in fact, if need be, we'll help get them transportation to get there. And we work with the warming centers to make sure there's a backup so that anyone who calls can get inside where it's safe.
Lisa, this probably sounds like a silly question, but why even have a severe cold weather protocol? Why not from December 1st till March 1st in Connecticut, we just have places that are available? Is that not viable or plausible?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that question, because it's true that when the temperatures dip as they have to effectively single digits, we know that that is terribly dangerous. But we also know that just being outside in the cold, even if it's warmer than that, even if it's 40 degrees, being outside in that cold weather takes a very bad toll on human beings. So I think to your point, the real problem is unsheltered homelessness. And we would really like to see the state of Connecticut create more capacity to get people inside and to get people out of shelter into housing. That's another part of the challenge that we face. We right now face a really serious shortage of housing that's available and affordable for low-income people. And that's part of the challenge that we're facing right now, is that there's not enough of that housing available to help people exit shelter and get into housing that they can sustain over time.
Do you have any numbers? We have Lisa Tepper Bates here with United Way, and we're talking about the 211 network that is incredibly essential throughout the year for many different reasons. But we're talking right now about people who are either homeless or are not sure, you know, which couch they're going to stay on tonight or anything like that. And when you factor in how cold it is in Connecticut, it can be deadly. We just lost two people in Stamford this month, and we're told it's because of the elements outside. So it's a very serious problem. Do you have any numbers, Lisa, to share with people how busy 211 is when you have a cold snap like we've seen here in Connecticut?
Sure. We're taking, during these periods of extreme cold, we are taking hundreds of calls, and we're seeing thousands of hits at our website looking for information about warming centers. So indeed, we're seeing a lot of demand. And as you and I discussed, that's about the increase in homelessness and the increase in unsheltered homelessness. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but important to know that we lost an additional individual who died on the New Haven Green, almost certainly due to exposure as well.
Did that happen this week?
It did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear about that. I'm sorry to hear that.
So that's three deaths in Connecticut, almost certainly due to exposure.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's devastating.
So what... It is, and it underscores the urgency of helping people to get inside. And, you know, we've seen that at any point in time right now in Connecticut, there are about 4,000 people, maybe more, experiencing homelessness. And I think what that tells us is we've got a challenge as a state. We can do better. We need to do better. We need to provide shelter for every person, every man, woman, and child who needs it when they find themselves without housing. And then we need to help them exit that emergency shelter, that warming center, to get into housing that they can sustain over time. And that's the answer. And we've got to move that direction.
Do you know, Lisa, where the call volume is the highest for 211?
Yeah, we track all of this very carefully, and we know, and it's fairly consistent, that the highest volumes are from our cities where we have the highest concentrations of population. So New Haven, Hartford, Bridgeport, and Waterbury tend to be the centers where we see the most calls.
Wow. I don't know. I would imagine you probably caught this, Lisa, but Governor Lamont announced this week in the coming days he's going to submit a plan to the bipartisan leadership of the Connecticut General Assembly. He wants to use funding, I think it's around $5 million or so, from the recently created Emergency State Response Reserve to support homelessness prevention and response services throughout Connecticut. I mean, you know, reaction to that, or, you know, do you think that will make a difference? Will it act quickly enough while we're already in the winter months of Connecticut, or what do you think?
Yeah, you know, we are very, very grateful to the governor for his leadership on committing to make those funds available. But it's really important to be clear about what that money is. Even as we face this crisis of unsheltered homelessness in Connecticut, the federal government is introducing some really dramatic and terrible changes to the way that federal funding for efforts to end homelessness is used. So that $5 million that the governor is committing is really to fill a hole that's going to be created in the next 6 months due to the change of federal policy. And that $5 million is so important. It will keep people in housing who we have effectively helped to exit homelessness and find a new measure of stability. And, you know, that includes veterans, that includes victims of domestic violence, it includes people who struggle with a severe and debilitating mental illness, and they have exited homelessness to housing. So that money will keep them in that housing, and that's so important. But it's not necessarily going to help people who are not already in that type of supportive program.
I see.
So just important to be clear about that.
No,
but
that's why I
asked. We're very grateful.
Yeah.
Very grateful to the governor for that. The last thing we need is some of these people who have only recently put their feet back into stable housing to end up back on the streets again. That is terrible for them, and it would not help our communities It would not help our police departments or our hospital emergency departments or our businesses to have more people out on the streets and homeless. So we're really grateful for that support, but we still need to do more for the people who right now are experiencing homelessness or are on the brink of falling into homelessness.
Mm. Lisa, I want to thank you for what you and all the folks at United Way, what you do for our state, and the 211 network is incredible. I will also link, if people want more information for 211 and all that, I'm going to put it on our website, voiceofct.com. I want to thank you for giving us the time here on WACC, and I'm sure we'll talk again really soon.
Thank you, and thank you for making sure people know that they can reach out to 211 or 211ct.org.
Absolutely. Lisa Tepper-Bates, thank you again.